37. Part 1. Warming up exercises. Note-taking. Radio program reminders. You are going to hear two radio program reminders. Listen carefully. Write down the programs you hear. You can abbreviate words in whatever way you like.
Good morning to you.
I am Bill Irwin.
Nice to have you with us this morning. Let's take a look ahead in this hour. In just a moment, Paul Franchuk reviews the major agricultural developments of the week. And we hope to have Barry Wood check in with us. He's in Tokyo, Japan, on, I don't know whether you call it a fact-finding mission. That's probably pretty close. He's trying to learn about Japanese industry and economics. He'll be checking in, we trust, a little bit later. Larry Martin joins us from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He's International Information Officer there, and he'll be answering a listener's question on the general subject of agriculture, in specific, the feeding of cattle. We'll have sports with Larry James and a book review. But right now, it's time for this Saturday morning's Agricultural Roundup.
Our next news from London will be world news on the air in 45 minutes at midnight. There's news about Britain to follow that. And at midnight, 15, Radio Newsreel. At midnight 30, the poetry of Yevgeny Yevtushenko is the subject of the second program in our series, Modern Russian Writers, which includes an extract from Yevtushenko's most famous poem, Babi Yar, written in commemoration of the terrible massacre of Russian Jews during the Second World War. Modern Russian Writers can be heard at midnight 30.
ABC Radio 2, Eastern Summer Time, is 11 o'clock. This is ABC National News, read by Bruce Webster. Firemen say the fires burning to the north of Sydney are now under control, but they've warned that a change in the weather might lead to new flare-ups. Hundreds of regular firemen and volunteers have spent the past 3 days battling fires on an intermittent front stretching across some 20 kilometres of bushland in Sydney's outer northern suburbs.
Exercise 1. Report the news to your friends with the help of the question cues provided. News item 2.
The vehicle industry. The local content plan is being relaxed still further to encourage exports. After a cabinet meeting in Canberra today, it was announced that manufacturers would be able to offset exports to reduce the local content requirements to a minimum of 77.5% by 1984. A spokesman for the Ministry of Industry and Commerce, Mr. Lynch, said the scheme was aimed at boosting Australian vehicle manufacture and exports with a view towards eventually reducing the cost of cars in Australia.
Exercise 2. Use a few words to summarize the main idea of the news. Exercise 3. Fill in the blanks with the words you hear on the tape.
Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, in cooperation with the Joint Programming Committee, presents the first of three programs entitled Colorful Canadians for students aged 10 to 13. Today we hear about Marguerite Bourgeois and Emily Stowe. Here to tell the stories is Lamont Tilden. It has taken a great many people with a great many different talents and ideas to build up this country. Only a few of them have been chronicled by history, and I'm going to tell you about two of them today. One, Marguerite Bourgeois, had a hand in the very beginning of our country, 300 years ago. The other, Emily Stowe, belongs to our present century. Marguerite Bourgeois is called the mother of Montreal, and for good reasons. When she arrived in 1653, Montreal was a struggling little outpost of about 50 huts. She organized the first school, founded the first church, and devoted 50 years of her life to the young city. Marguerite didn't have to come to Canada. Her father was a wealthy merchant in Troyes, in northern France. She could have lived in comfort, married a rich man, and have passed her years surrounded by her family and friends. Instead, she chose to brave the unknown dangers of a new land and spend her life working hard in a young and untamed country. Marguerite started her first school in an abandoned stable, but she soon found that the job was too much for one woman. She made the long and difficult voyage back to France for help and returned with four other women and the determination to found a teaching organization to spread the benefits of education to all the people of Canada. Her pupils were not always children. In those days, the King of France recruited orphan girls to go out to New France to be wives to the settlers. Marguerite Bourgeois found that these young women were woefully ignorant, not only of the country in which they were to make their homes, but also about housekeeping, cooking, and baby care. So she set to work to teach them. To carry out her tasks, Marguerite Bourgeois needed more money and more workers. And in 1670, she decided to return once again to France. Crossing the North Atlantic in the small sailing vessels of those days was difficult enough. Marguerite, who was 50 years old at the time, had an additional ordeal. The winter that year came much earlier than usual, and the vessel she was going to take refused to venture upstream from Quebec to Montreal for fear of being frozen in. "If the ship will not come to Montreal," said Marguerite, "I shall have to go to Quebec." And she set out on foot and alone to walk 180 miles through rough forest land. The damp, clinging snow was knee-deep. Her only food was what she could carry in her small bundle or what she could beg from infrequent settlers. Some nights she was forced to sleep in the open, depending on faith alone to preserve her from prowling Indians and wild animals. But she reached Quebec in time to board the ship for France, where she managed to meet King Louis XIV face to face and get his help for her work in Montreal. In 1673, 20 years after her first arrival in Montreal, Marguerite saw the building of her first real school. In that year also, she laid the cornerstone of the first church in Montreal called Notre-Dame de Bon Secours. When Marguerite Bourgeois died in 1700 at the age of 80, she left 39 members of the Congregation of Notre-Dame to carry on her work. Today, there are 4,000 sisters of the order working in 162 teaching missions throughout North America. It's a remarkable memorial to a great and dedicated woman.
Exercise 1. Fill in the blanks with the information you hear on the tape. Exercise 2. Answer the questions you hear on the tape. When did Marguerite Bourgeois arrive in Montreal? What was Montreal like at that time? Why is Marguerite Bourgeois called the mother of Montreal? Where did she start her first school? Why did she go back to France? What did she do after she returned to Canada? What sort of people did she teach? Why did Marguerite Bourgeois decide to return to France again? Why was the voyage a difficult one? How did she manage to get to Quebec? Exercise 3. Retell the story.